Ted Henter was a man with a vision, a successful businessman who built a well-performing company in the niche blindness technology market and eventually sold that company as part of the creation of Freedom Scientific. Ted Henter's taking a less active role in that new company, and he joins me now to talk about his plans and how things are going at Freedom Scientific. Ted Henter, welcome to Main Menu, and thank you for making yourself available. First of all, how are you?
Well, thanks, Jonathan. Good to be here. I'm doing great, feeling great. I've had a lot of time off out of the office to do some personal things and just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy myself. Spend some more time with the kids to get some more exercise. So things are going very nice. Plus, the weather here in Florida just has turned out to be beautiful in the last week or so. So things are going great.
That sounds good. You're sounding very relaxed. Now, let's talk about the changing status that I understand you're in the process of going through with Freedom Scientific. You are shortly no longer to be a vice president of development. Is that the story?
That's correct. Since the merger of our companies back in April, I've been an employee and a vice president of advanced development, which we had a couple projects we had in mind, but most of the development goes into the existing products, JAWS and MAGIC, and now Open Book. And, of course, we developed Connect Out Loud as well. So there really wasn't much that I was doing, kind of helping the other guys. I purposely did not have any responsibility. I was, hoping to to skate through without being responsible for anything. So I just had less and less and less to do, and it became pretty obvious that the thing to do is just become a consultant, work even less, but at least that would be official. And it could mean more, more freedom to go and do some other things. So yeah, now, well, it's about to be official. There'll be some press releases going out pretty soon, I suspect this week, but I'm not absolutely positive.
Right.
Yeah, so I feel that now, it's just the next step, and once you sell a company, of course, you can't continue to run it unless that was one of the, things going in, which it was not. In my case, I was just to be an advisor and help out the new guys. And I did, and the new guys have kind of grabbed the reins and taken off with it, and I just have less and less and less to do. So rather than hang around doing nothing, I like this new status much better. I don't feel the guilt of, not going to work. I don't feel the guilt of not accomplishing anything. So I like this change, and I'll be there to kind of keep in touch with my friends, go to some of the shows. I just today got back from the office. I was over there for a little barbecue. We're celebrating the release of Magic version 8 and Connect Out Loud. So we had a barbecue for the whole company for lunch. So I just got back here to, make this interview and take care of a few other things. So I'm really enjoying it. I get to keep in touch with everybody and yet still have a lot of spare time, a lot of free time to do other things.
So in practical terms then, are there things that you will no longer be doing for Freedom Scientific that you have since the creation of Freedom Scientific been doing?
Just in general. I used to sit in on the development meetings, see what was going on, where everybody kind of reports to Chris Hofstetter, our director of development, and just kind of sit on that, ask a few questions when I had some, and tell people they're doing a great job when they were, stuff like that. And I sat in with Jerry and Dick on things like, it's Jerry Kerbeck and Dick Chandler, on things like presentations for the board of directors and other executive committee meetings and stuff like that, just trying to advise them on directions to take, on development projects, on some hiring and, stuff like that. So, yeah, I have done that sort of thing since the merger in April. And now I will no longer be doing that. Unless, of course, they call on me and say, well, what do you think? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Should we develop this product? Should we make these changes in the management or whatever? I'm not sure what, but I'm available to them is what it boils down to. So, yeah, there are just a few things that I won't be doing. But quite frankly, I have not had that much impact, since the merger. Because just everything was in motion, and they didn't make a lot of changes in direction, and so it just wasn't a lot to say or do. Just, what do you think about this? And most of the time I'd say, yeah, that's a good idea.
How do you feel about that? I mean, Hinder Joyce was your baby, and I guess in some ways it could have been a bit of a difficult process to go through to realize that there were other key players pulling the strings there.
Yeah, well, that emotional thing, that's the hardest part. That's just an adjustment that I've gone through in the past 8 months or so. And I'm kind of over it now. You know, going into this deal, when we realized we were going to merge the companies, which is the same as selling them, really, and someone else is going to run the show, you know, people told me, you know, it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, you're not going to be in charge, you're not going to be the boss. And, of course, you know that intellectually, but you don't know that emotionally. Till it happens, and I didn't like it. It was unpleasant, quite frankly. But it's just a normal adjustment you go through, and you get used to it. And it happens to every businessman once you, you know, sell your baby. So it's one of those things that, yeah, I didn't like it at all, but nobody expected that I would like it, even me. So, and now I'm over it, you know. I've made that adjustment, and now I'm quite pleased with the fact that things are in very good hands there at the company. The people that I hired over the years to help move the company forward, they're still there. They're doing a great job. So I'm very pleased with what's going on. You know, we're still doing the same things we've always done, working hard to develop great software and provide great support for our customers. So I'm very pleased with the way it is, and that just gives me the peace and the freedom to sit back and relax and do some other things, you know, non-business things. Well, so, yeah, you're right. It was a tough adjustment, but I have adjusted.
When I read some of the email lists and I read about people, for example, no longer getting catalogs, etc., in appropriate media, whereas they might used to have gotten that material in appropriate media in the past and things, there's a perception out there that these days Freedom Scientific is a little bit more, shall we say, hard-nosed about its business practices because it's not driven by the same set of imperatives that you have people driving the company now who are veterans of the technology industry, if you like. They're not motivated perhaps by the same passion, but more by making sure that the investors are satisfied with their considerable investment. I mean, do you detect a cultural change about the whole way that Freedom Scientific is doing business now?
Well, I think that's like three questions in one, Jonathan. And yeah, let me start with the last one. There is a cultural change, and I wouldn't say it's for the worse. You know, it's definitely a different culture, not that much different, but different, and it may be for the better. You know, time will tell. And about the only thing I can say at this point is that it's different, and you just got to expect that to happen. You know, different management styles, a much bigger company. You know, Hinder Joyce was about 75 people. Now I believe the Hinder side, the Blazy side, plus the Arkenstone products, we must be around 150 people now. So, plus we're spread out over three locations, actually four locations. So it requires a much different structure to manage all that. And so it's not surprising, you know, all these changes were foreseen. You know, anybody that's done it before or knows much about these things, you just expect that. So, yes, it has changed, but it's nothing that we didn't expect. And it's not necessarily for the better or for the worse, you know, it's just different. Back to your original point where people got catalogs in an inappropriate medium, I think a couple things happened there. One, you know, the new people just weren't aware of all the things that we had been doing, and so there may have been a few false starts, but that certainly got corrected. The catalog, for example, isn't available in just about any medium you can think of. It's just that we printed thousands of them in print, and we mailed them out to just about everybody in the database just to kind of get the new catalog out there. And we got a lot of good feedback on that. It's a beautiful catalog. And shortly thereafter, it was available on disk. And I'm not even sure if it's on the web yet, but I'm sure it will be. So, yeah, those type of things are just minor adjustments that the folks have gone through. Because we did have to hire some new people that were not aware of this industry, you know, to make some of these changes and all these merger activities that we've gone through. So it's just some minor glitches, and they've all been fixed to my knowledge. And there's still a very sincere and very focused understanding and commitment to our market, you know, blind people. So everybody there knows, blind and sighted, that who we sell to, who uses our products, who's going to say good or bad things about us, and those are the ones that we're catering to. So it's different, but, you know, it's not any worse.
There's no doubt that the end user is the blind person, certainly in the Freedom Scientific products that we have at the moment. But who is the company now marketing to? I hear that there's debate about whether, in fact, Freedom Scientific should be retailing its own products or whether, in fact, its core business ought to be concentrated on the manufacture and support of hardware and software to vendors who can then go out there and perhaps provide more one-on-one support and retail the goods. Is that something that's being worked through?
Yeah, that was definitely a debate in the beginning, but it was decided a while back, I think like the end of the summer, that our real commitment is what you express as the latter choice there. Rather than selling to the end user ourselves with our own sales force and whatnot, we've made a recommitment to the dealer, distributor, you know, the reseller, the local company. They can provide local service, on-site service. And we have some new dealer programs and support programs for those folks. So we've made a recommitment to them. But like you say, there was a debate at one time where we might, let's say, absorb or buy some of those resellers and bring them into the fold and make them part of the sales force. But we've gone the other way. We're doing it pretty much the way that Henry Joyce has always done it, really. You know, we went out and tried to build up a good dealer network and then do what we could to support the dealers. So that effort is continuing.
And I suppose that was a cultural difference between the two major companies involved in this, Henry Joyce and Blaze Engineering, that had to be reconciled, really.
I can see where that you would think that, but I think it really came from Dick Chandler when he originally started looking at this industry. He thought that would be a good way to go, to buy the leaders in the industry as the manufacturers, developers, and then buy the distribution network as well. And bring everybody into one big happy company and be able to really focus one's efforts that way. But I think the more and more he looked at the industry and the people and whatnot, he kind of evolved into, he kind of fell back to the way we had been doing it, at least at Henry Joyce. Now, Blaze, of course, you know, was doing the same thing, perhaps with a more emphasis towards direct sales than dealer sales. I think it's safe to say Henry Joyce was more focused on the dealer than direct. And now at Freedom, we're more focused on the dealer as well.
So if you have a division as part of the company that is, through this new arrangement, potentially going to lose some retail sales, doesn't that mean that the profit margins are going to be affected for that division because they're selling at wholesale instead of retail?
Yeah, I think all things being equal, that's absolutely correct. I think I know that we have decided what we should be focusing our efforts on is developing the best products in the whole world for this market and then helping others to sell them to the end user. But you're absolutely right. All things being equal, yeah, you're going to lose some margin if you sell wholesale. But that's just one of the things you got to live with.
All right, so the suggestion is that the added demand for better products will compensate, more than compensate, for that reduced margin.
I think that's safe to say also.
Right.
Frankly, I haven't thought it through that, you know, like that, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
Is it a coincidence that you and Dean Blasey appear to be going through this reduction of roles at the same time, or have you guys talked about that?
We talk about that and all kinds of other things on an almost daily basis. Dean and I are very good friends, and it wouldn't make sense for one of us to go through it without the other, simply because, you know, we both were the, running our companies and owners of our companies, and we, shall we say, sold our companies at the same time. So we're pretty much just on the same schedule. And it's reasonable for them, the new owners, you know, of Freedom, to kind of want to treat us the same. And we like it that way too, frankly. That way, if we don't like what's going on, we can stick together and fight back, united. You know, that usually works better. So I wouldn't call it a coincidence, I just call it part of the plan. You know, it's just the way things work.
But there is a feeling, and I haven't spoken to Dean Blasey, but there certainly is a feeling based on people who've spoken with me at their suggestion that your motivations are quite different between the two of you, that he is not so happy with how things are going, and that while you appear to be reducing your role quite comfortably to concentrate on lifestyle type issues, that he may be reducing his role through a sense of disappointment and frustration about the way things have gone.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Dean, but you know, I think some of that is true. You know, he's very competitive, and usually competitive with me. We're always competing with each other, and one way that we're competing is now the Henry Joyce division is doing quite well sales wise, and the Blasey division is not doing as well. Of course, I like that. I'm telling Dean, pointing that out to Dean all the time, and that may be part of his dissatisfaction. But I don't know. You know, we're different. Even though we're friends, we're just different. See, one of the reasons that this whole thing came about was I made up my mind a while back to get out from under the company, so to speak, so I wouldn't have to be working all the time. So I made a conscious decision to move this way, to get away from the responsibility and, in effect, to sell the company. Now, Dean wasn't quite at that point, I don't think. You know, he was quite happy doing what he was doing. And but, you know, the opportunity came along for this merger and to make a bigger and better company, and things worked out. So he may not have been as ready as I was to do this. I don't know. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of things that are involved here. You really have to talk with him.
Mm.
But, you know, I do talk with him quite frequently. Like just last Friday I was talking with him, and he has agreed to all the things that are this new arrangement, although it's not 100% solidified yet. He's agreed with it and evidently is happy with it, and we're moving on this way.
As a stockholder, I mean, while I appreciate that you have this kind of rivalry, a friendly rivalry that's gone on for a long time, as a stockholder in the company, you must be concerned at the reports that there is about a 50% reduction in sales for the Blasey Engineering division, because that obviously affects the overall bottom line of Freedom Scientific.
Yeah, no, I can't substantiate those numbers. I'm frankly not up on the numbers, but yeah, I don't like the fact that their sales are off a bit. But, you know, it's a temporary thing. There's some new products coming out. I know a little bit about the products that are going to be coming out, so I'm quite confident in the success of the company and that product line going forward. So, yeah, as a stockholder, I'm not concerned. But, you know, we have some great products. We're going to do very well in the future. And so, sure, I would much rather see sales up 50% than down 50%, but you know, you can't have everything.
No.
But I'm confident it's going to all work out in the end.
One of the things I wondered if you could comment on was something that certainly generated quite a bit of discussion on the email lists over the last week, and I understand it hasn't really been an issue in your division, in the HJ division, but certainly it was a very live topic in the Blasey division, and this relates to the agreement that staff were asked to agree to, which would pretty much prevent them from working in the access technology industry for 2 years after leaving Freedom Scientific, and many people felt that was a bit hard on blind people who, because of attitudinal barriers, may not actually have a lot of other options and knew about assistive technology. They would want to stay in the industry and go and work for another company, even if that company wasn't directly competing with Freedom Scientific. It may still be assistive technology. Is this part of the culture change thing?
Jonathan, you know as much about this company as I do. That was just a mistake. You know, because neither Blaze Engineering or Henner Joyce had what we'd call a full-time human resources person. That was one of the first things that Dick Chandler wanted to put in place was a human resources manager to make sure the benefits packages and all that stuff was handled properly. Well, one of the things that she was directed to do was come up with a non-compete agreement for everybody to sign. And that's quite common in a technology business, you know. It's very rare that you don't have a non-compete. In fact, at Henner Joyce, all the technology-related people, those like the programmers, you know, had signed non-compete agreements because we didn't want them to quit and go to work for the competition, obviously. Well, the non-compete that came out, you know, kind of hit the streets without being reviewed by some of the senior management like myself, which might have pointed out a few of these shortcomings in it. And it was not well received. But like I say, it was just a mistake. It was very quickly retracted. And to my knowledge, that issue has been resolved. I'm not sure what the current state is because I had a pretty solid non-compete myself, so I wasn't expected to sign that particular one.
But bottom line, it
was just a mistake by, you know, someone who wasn't as familiar with the industry and as familiar with the situation. It was a fairly standard non-compete form, and you know, just didn't take into account the special nature of our business and the special nature of some of our employees, you know, including myself.
All right. So you're saying that it was withdrawn because management realized it was a mistake rather than the fact that you had a bit of a rebellion on your hands and it had to be withdrawn or you would have had trouble maintaining Freedom Scientific's business without all the employees who were threatening to go over it?
Well, it was both. It wasn't until the employees read it and rebelled that management realized, oh, yeah, you're right, this is a mistake, and then they retracted it. So it really didn't get much further than that. You know, once it was pointed out what the problem was, then it was retracted right away. So there was nothing like an argument going on. Once the guys realized what the problem was, it was over.
You make a very good point, and that has been made on the email lists where this has been discussed over the last week, that this agreement is not exactly non-standard, the one that's been withdrawn. And you have made the comment that there was one at Henner Joyce, and that that you would be expected to sign such a document if you were working in other aspects of the technology industry. I guess that begs the question, should blind people just wake up and smell the coffee over this and realize that you're in this industry, it's a cutthroat competitive industry where commercial advantage over programming issues is everything, and you just have to accept that?
Yeah, that's part of it. And, you know, we have to grow up and face that fact. But also, you got to be careful when you sign a non-compete. It's reasonable to sign one that says you're not going to go to work for another company making technology products for blind people. You know, I would think that's reasonable. But to sign one that says you're not going to go to work for a company making any products for blind people, you know, that's a little bit different. And I'm not even sure what this particular one did say because I didn't read it myself. But you can make them narrow, and the narrower they are, the better, because that gives you more freedom if you do leave the company. The main thing the company wants is to just protect its intellectual property, you know, like software code. I mean, even if you don't take the code with you, if you wrote it and you know all about it and then you spend a couple of years solving the problems, it's much easier to develop it again a second time for somebody else. And that's what you want to prevent, you know, as a company. And that was the only reason we had one.
Yeah, it seems to me that it's this culture thing that I keep coming back to. I've read and heard a lot of stuff about Freedom Scientific in the last couple of weeks, and if I was to try and summarize it in a sentence and give a bit of an analysis for you to comment on, I'd suggest that perhaps there are some enthusiastic managers who are new to the company who are trying to move ahead in a way consistent with Freedom Scientific's new vision, but perhaps in a way that has not at every turn taken staff with them, those staff who have been around for a long time. Would you think that's a fair comment?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know too much about it, because I know at Henner Joyce, we haven't had a lot of changes like that. You know, pretty much whoever was in management position is still there. We have a few new people, mainly some new departments, like the Human Resources Department and our IT department. Of course, we had one before, but we had a much smaller, much smaller networking to take care of. You know, two buildings. Now we've got like four different locations, so IT is a much bigger problem. So at Henner Joyce, we haven't had too much of a change. Now, I believe at Blasey, there's been a lot more of a change, so you're probably hearing things from that side that I really don't know much about.
Okay. How do you grow this market, Ted? I suppose that the investors are keen to make sure that the bottom line increases, and that's not at all unreasonable. I think Connect Out Loud appears to be a kind of a reach-out product to try and get technology in the hands of more people. Are there other strategies in the pipe to grow this market?
Well, good question. One thing that we're counting on or hoping for is that the market itself will grow. And that is, I think we have very, very low percentage of the blind people, or at least in North America, or let's say the industrialized world, as customers, a very low percentage. So I fully believe that percentage is going to grow just as blind people take more advantage of the educational opportunities and employment opportunities and all that sort of stuff. You know, like someone that's 50 years old, like myself, that's blind, if they haven't learned computers already, well, maybe they're not going to. But certainly someone who's 18 years old, let's say going into college, every one of those people, I'll bet, you know, blind people, I'll bet they're using computers. So as time goes on, those 18-year-olds become 48-year-olds, and now you've got close to 100% of that age group using computers. So it's going to grow that way. Another way, of course, is just to do a better job than the competition and take over some market share. And I suppose a third way certainly is to develop other products, you know, new products, to develop them ourselves or perhaps merge with companies that are developing them. So that's certainly something we're focused on, is growing the business, and I think those are the three main ways of doing it.
I wonder if there's another way, which is that the majority of people who go blind do so later in life. And I've noticed in the last couple of years that there is a real tendency for these senior net type organizations to be springing up all over the place, older people getting on the net and using it. And a product like Connect Out Loud actually may well be hitting exactly that spot where you've got an older person who just wants the basics to get on the net. And that's a huge untapped market, I would have thought.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jonathan, and that's one of the reasons we came out with Connect Out Loud is for that market. And it's a different market than it was 10 years ago. See, now your senior citizen, let's say 60 years old, a lot of them are using computers. But 10 years ago, it was a much smaller, you know, percentage. So of those that are now using computers, some of them are blind. And a much bigger percentage of them are using computers than they were, you know, 10 years ago. So Connect Out Loud is almost a perfect solution for that population group. It's also great for the real young kids that, you know, don't need to use Excel, let's say. They just want to do some email and browse the web and so maybe write some simple letters to grandma. And it's a lot cheaper than JAWS. So it's a great solution for, you know, a family that has a blind kid and wants to get that kid on the computer. So we think it's going to be a very popular product, and it's going to introduce a whole lot of people to computers, and then as their needs increase, then they can step up to JAWS.
Now, Connect Out Loud is a new product, but I wonder if we take that out of the equation, do you think that the average customer of JAWS, of OpenBook, and of the Blasey products has benefited yet from the Freedom Scientific creation?
I couldn't point to a substantial benefit yet, because I think it's safe to say that all the products that we've come out with so far, you know, were in the pipeline back when it was just Henner Joyce and Blasey separately. You know, there's really nothing new that has come out as a result of Freedom Scientific. They've just continued on with what we had planned, you know, for the past couple of years. And we just haven't had time to shall we say, merge the technologies. For example, Open Book and JAWS, there's a lot of things they do that are identical. You know, they're talking software. But it's totally separate code. So one of the benefits that we see going forward is we can merge those two functions into one piece of code that could be used in both products. It makes the development cycle shorter. It makes maintenance easier. It makes training and documentation easier. So those are the type of benefits that will come out. The companies are not old enough yet to have that benefit be obvious to the customer. And the same applies on the Blasey side, too. You know, as time goes forward, we'll be using some of our software in the Blasey Note-Taker products, you know, to cut down on that development cycle. So it does have a very synergistic effect. But we haven't seen it yet. The company's only 8 months old.
Hmm. And I suppose there's even no point in my going down the track of asking you about whether you've made a decision at Freedom Scientific about the operating system on which the Blasey note-taker that's on the drawing board is going to be using and how JAWS interfaces with that.
Frankly, to my knowledge, that decision has not been made, but I'm also not intimately involved in that whole process. So what I have to say today may not be exactly true. I just can't speak accurately on that subject. But I know it's in very good hands. Glenn Gordon, who's been our chief technical officer for 6 or 7 years now at Henner Joyce, he is intimately involved with that project, and I'm sure whatever the decision does come out, I'm sure it'll be a good one.
Oh, have you got any thoughts on the image of Freedom Scientific? And what I'm getting at here is that sometimes I read it on blindness lists, and I subscribe to a lot of them because I feel I must do so as a journalist. I read that people sometimes feel they would rather buy a product from another company if it does an equivalent job than buy it from Freedom Scientific, because there's a perception that Freedom Scientific is becoming or has become the Microsoft of the blindness industry, that it wields too much power, that there's a danger that they will completely conquer this entire market to the detriment of blind people.
Yeah, you know, that's a fairly common feeling or perception. I mean, you mentioned Microsoft, so just think of the general computer market. You know, some people dislike Microsoft intensely, like our formal administration that, you know, that tries to sue them on antitrust laws. But, you know, on the other hand, you got people that love Microsoft, and they've done a great job, and there's a reason why they're the biggest software company in the world. So I don't know certainly the analogy doesn't hold up everywhere, but it is a valid analogy between Microsoft and Freedom, you know, at some level. There's always going to be people that are unhappy with you no matter what you do. You know, you can't please all the people all the time. So our job at Freedom is just to keep focused on our mission, which is to provide the best products in the world for blind people, and just keep performing that mission, you know, as best that we can, do it better than anybody else, and we will get our share of customers and our share of kudos. But we'll never get 100% of them. That's just a fact of life. So we don't worry about that either. You know, we've learned, me personally and the other management folks at the company know this, and you just got to keep moving on. You know you're doing a good job. You know you're doing you have a good mission. You just got to keep moving forward and being focused on that. And you're always going to have people criticizing you, but you just can't let that get to you. You can't focus on them.
If you were still in charge of Hinterjoyce and you were starting this process all over again, the acquisition process, would you do it exactly the same way, or would there be things that you would do differently now?
Well, given the situation and the people involved, I would say we wouldn't have much choice but to do it exactly the same way. If the circumstances were different, yeah, maybe we might be able to twist things around a little bit to be different. But I knew going in, and so did Dean, that you know ultimately we would be, as time goes on, we would be moved further and further out of the center of the company. We would have less and less control. And frankly, that was my plan from the beginning of this process. You just can't have control of a company and do a good job unless you're there every day, 10 or 12 hours a day, working like a fiend, you know, like the people are doing now. So you just can't have it both ways. If you want to have the control of the company, you got to be there working harder than anybody else. And understanding everything that's going on and making and being involved in the decisions and all that. If you don't want to spend your time doing that, well, then you don't deserve the control and you just can't do a good job. So it's totally expected that things have turned out the way they have. And so to answer your question, yes, I would do it exactly the same as we have done it. Because it's turned out quite good and there's a lot of very good people that are there and still working very hard on the mission. So things are going pretty good.
So tell me about some of the things you're up to now then. What are you doing with all of this free time that you have?
Well, I'm taking Kung Fu lessons 3 times a week.
Yeah, yeah. What motivated you to do that?
Well, it's something I've always wanted to do, and about 8 years ago, my second daughter, I have 3 daughters, she was about 10 years old, I think, she started taking karate lessons, and I was really interested in that and proud of her for doing that. And so once I got some spare time, well, I've always thought of, in fact, before we got married, my wife had a brown belt in karate.
Oh, my goodness.
She was quite accomplished.
Did you used to watch those Bruce Lee movies back in the 70s?
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's just something I wanted to do, and it's not the fact that I'm learning how to hurt people, you know, it's just great exercise. And all that sort of stuff. So I'm enjoying that. I'm also, you know, working out 2 or 3 other days a week. Recently, I just started paddling a lot to get in shape for a race from the Atlantic to the Pacific through the Panama Canal. This will be my 7th year of doing that race. So I'm getting in shape for that. And let me think what else I'm doing. I'm reading some books. The Cure for All Diseases is a book I'm reading, so I'm interested in natural health products.
Right.
You know, vitamins and minerals and stuff like that. I'm also reading a book on the Lotus 49, which is a famous race car from the 1960s, driven by Jim Clark and Graham Hill, two of my heroes when I was a kid. So I'm getting a chance to read some of this stuff and really enjoying that. And I still get tons of email from friends and former customers. So, you know, a lot of questions, a lot of it on the same things you're asking. You know, what's going on? How come you're doing this? How come they're doing that?
Do people still email you directly and say things like, you know, I can't get JAWS 3.7 to focus on the taskbar or something like that?
Yep, some do.
So you point them in the right direction, I guess.
Yeah, I just forward them to JAWS@HJ.com.
Yeah.
And offer to help if that doesn't do it, but that usually doesn't.
So. Yeah. You may be able to pursue that interest in natural health products. I mean, that wouldn't contravene your non-compete agreement.
No, I'm perfectly free to do that.
Yeah.
And let me think what else I'm doing. Seems like I've been awfully busy. I've been racing go-karts. My friend and I have a go-kart team. We own 3 go-karts. And my daughter, who was the karate black belt, she was racing for us for 5 years. Well, she quit last June. She retired. She went out on top, by the way. She won the championship here at our local track and then retired. So So we've got a couple new kids now, and we're having fun, you know, with teenagers, showing them the racing game, teach them how to race, teach them how to tune the kart and things like that. So we're having a great time doing that. In fact, that's what I was doing yesterday out at the racetrack all day. Being a former motorcycle racer, my friend Dan Moore, we just like racing. And when my daughters wanted to start racing, we decided we'll do go-karts, not motorcycles.
Mm.
So we got into it about 6 years ago, and so we've been enjoying that as well.
Well, it's a salutary lesson, really, because I suppose that what you're saying is that to be a successful businessman and really to keep things in perspective, you've got to make sure that there are other activities in your life and that there's time for family. And people are becoming more aware of that these days.
Yeah, that's a key thing. You know, I've always been aware of it, but many times I couldn't spare the time. You know, we're so busy taking care of business. And so it's a real luxury to get to this point in my life. I just turned 50, and to have the spare time. And to still have my family around, my kids aren't too old, that I'm, you know, still around them, and so I'm really enjoying the situation. I really am. I do miss being the top dog at Henry Joyce and now Freedom Scientific, but I wouldn't trade that for the kind of free time that I have right now. So it's just another, you know, stage in life, and I'm very fortunate that I can enjoy it as I am.
They grow up so darn fast, don't they?
Oh, they sure do.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah, my oldest girl's in college, and my youngest one's in the third grade, so we have quite a gap there in years.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it all.
Well,
it's really great.
I wish you the best of luck. And, of course, we haven't seen the last of you in the context of assistive technology because you're still consulting with Freedom Scientific, but you've inspired many people, many blind people in particular, with your business endeavors and equipped people with the tools to get on with their lives as students or employees or employers. And I appreciate the frankness with which you've shared your thoughts on the program today.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Very kind of you to ask me to come on your show and kind of you to give me the time. And it is very gratifying to hear words like that. I do get email from people thanking me, and that's the biggest payoff of all. But I'd like to say thanks to you again and to all the HJ and Blazy and Arkenstone customers out there. And, you know, stay tuned. Freedom Scientific isn't over yet, and there's a lot of neat new things coming out, good things coming out, and it will be a great company just like the ones that it's built on. Thank you very much.